so bleary. I guess I'm young, but I feel so weary. I tried to express it, but I think it's all a bore. It's at the heart of me, a very part of me. Speak slowly, I can't hear you. My mind keeps spinning closer and closer to the rain on the roof and the rain in my head and the things that you said. Keep on thinking further ahead and it just gets so foggy, it's nowhere in here.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Good morning. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you are, in fact, listening to the morning edition of the Carolyn and Joe Show. And yes, indeed, we are just back from Baltimore Comic Con 2000. Tizen.
I can notice there's a difference to your voice in the morning. I don't know about mine. Can you tell? Versus a normal radio show that we record at.
Maybe my voice is more sultry. My voice is more sultry.
It sounds deeper.
Antonio Banderas.
Sounds like Antonio.
Maybe I gotta do my patented laugh. the Seth Rogen laugh. Remember when we saw Kevin Smith and he kept on doing impersonations of Seth Rogen, the way he laughs at like everything? Maybe that's how people at home are thinking of the way I laugh. Like every 10 seconds.
It's really not as huffy as Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen is just one of those Jewish guys that just keeps laughing at
the
everything.
One of the Jewish guys that laughs.
I definitely think it's quite hilarious that he does laugh like every five. I don't know. I see him at every single Comic-Con or at panels and at interviews and stuff like that. He's just always like.
You think it's because of the? Is it because of the 420? Does that make people laugh?
Is it because the 420s that make them laugh? Yeah. I don't know. I know a lot of guys and girls that constantly are smoking up and stuff, but they don't laugh as much as him. He just must be like a happy guy.
That it was like
the thinner version of Jonah Hill.
Man, Seth Rogen though, like Seth Rogen, I think can kick Jonah Hill's ass.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I think
you mean like in an actual fight or
like Jonah Hill against.
Are you taking this as a literal fight?
Yeah, I'm thinking this as a literal fight. Jonah Hill against Seth Rogen. I totally think that Jonah Hill can kick Seth Rogen's ass.
Well,
in
a comedy fight.
A comedy
Seth
fight.
Rogen can kick Jonah Hill's ass.
Now, base this. What is this comedy fight? Like they're throwing jokes at each other?
With talent.
And talent? I don't know. Let's think about this. Let's think about the movies that they've put out there. Let's see.
Seth Jonah Rogen Hill has bigger name value.
But we're talking about
Jonah Hill just has bigger.
Well, I guess if you're to tell him that Jonah Hill just has bigger. You hear Seth Rogen completely just laugh at that. He'd be like, oh, you just said bigger.
Then that would mean I made Seth Rogen laugh. And then that would be awesome.
Do you think Seth Rogen is at this point of where... Is he past the point where Michael Cera is at this point? Where everyone's just tired of him? They're just like, I'm tired of that Michael Cera.
Well, you know, James doesn't really like Seth Rogen.
So that's the final draw. Is if James doesn't like anybody, their career is over.
Well, it's not just
I don't like that. I don't. What? He's a fag. I don't like him.
Well, you know, I don't know what's up with Michael Cera, but he needs to play some different characters. I haven't seen all of his movies, but everyone just basically thinks of him as the kid from Juno.
Well, the real question is, what do you think of Michael Cera? What's your history with Michael Cera? Because a lot of people have
like
seen him
see
from
Scott
Arrested
Pilgrim.
Development and other stuff. What was the first time you've ever seen or heard of Scott? Not Scott Pilgrim. Michael Cera.
Michael Cera. I think it was Juno.
First time ever?
I think so.
Was that his breakout role in Juno?
I think so. Well, besides Arrested Development, which I never saw any episodes of.
That's true. I never watched a lot of Arrested Development, but he never really stuck out. But I guess he should have stuck out in my head. He's the guy, Michael Cera. Since we know that Seth Rogen does like the laugh, he's like, oh,
Michael
you know,
Cera just does like the awkward normal boy look.
Can you give me an impersonation of Michael Cera? Well, like, if there's a girl is like,
he's like,
oh, hi, Michael. So what are you up to?
I was wondering what you were doing this summer, because you know, we don't have to go to school, so you know, there's a lot of downtime. So or, I was just wondering.
Just wondering if you want to go out with a date with me or not. You know, you don't really have to. It's cool if you don't. And I understand if you're busy. If it's just like that.
Well, I want to, like, before I officially judge
Michael
Cera.
I
haven't even seen Scott Pilgrim. I haven't seen Adventureland.
Well, you know how he's gonna be in Scott Pilgrim. He's gonna be exactly like Michael Cera.
I mean,
he wasn't in Adventureland.
Oh, he wasn't?
Though. No.
Who was the kid in that?
It was another guy. He was the guy from Zombieland.
Well, that kid reminds me of Michael Cera. That kid is like a Michael Cera, like, look-alike.
He's like a Michael Cera you buy with a coupon.
Yeah, that's exactly what that kid is. And what's that kid's name? I don't even know his name.
Michael Cera.
Well, the
two,
kid, the
three.
Kid, no, the kid from Adventure. No, that's when Michael Cera evolves. Then he can become Michael Cera 3.0.
So it's prototype.
No, but this other kid, the Adventureland Michael Cera, is just like Michael Cera, like the generic.
Generic Michael Cera.
Yeah.
What about the guy from Kick-Ass? Is he a Michael Cera generic too?
He's like, his character showed a lot more strength, so I can see how he would be put in that same type of personality as Michael Cera, but I don't put him in the Michael Cera category. I just call him Kick-Ass for now, because I haven't seen anything else he does. But for now, he's Kick-Ass, but he was like much more stronger presence.
I'm Kick-Ass, and I'm gonna kick your ass.
Seth Rogen in the house.
Well, they say, I guess the reason why Michael Cera like blew up, essentially, is that he sort of represents the you know how
everyday
Michael,
boy.
Like people, yeah. I guess the everyday guy is constantly changing because, you know, Seth Rogen represented the everyday guy, and I guess Michael Cera now represents the.
He's more of like the teen side of the boy that tries to ask a girl out on a date.
So are you going to the party?
Seth Rogen represents like a little bit more older guy, like out of college and that knocked up girls. No.
That knocks up girls.
Well, Seth Rogen kind of represents the everyday guy who basically, in a way, is kind of like a slob.
Well, what's Michael Cera?
Well, Michael Cera is like a teenage version of that. There's like a 5-year gap.
Is there a 5-year gap between Michael Cera and Seth Rogen?
Well, I don't know how old Michael Cera is, but Seth Rogen's our age.
But yeah, Michael Cera does connect with the...
A little bit younger.
Yeah, he is the you know, the internet,
I mean, I know
the internet audience.
Like, 5 years is, like, technically not really that
it's
much.
It's our audience.
But technically, 5 years isn't really that much, but there is a difference between the Seth Rogen and the Michael Cera.
Which one would you...
But it's just that Seth Rogen is more mature.
If I were to choose who to hang out with between Michael Cera... and Seth Rogen.
Just between those two?
Because I almost guarantee they probably both smoke pot. So that's an equal thing. They probably both watch maybe the same movies.
Are you throwing Jonah Hill into the mix?
All right, let's throw Jonah Hill. Those three. If you had to choose. Wait,
I can guarantee
no, wait,
you
let's,
that
let's,
Jonah Hill eats.
Let's take Jonah Hill out. There has to be. There's
Goodbye,
must be,
Jonah.
There must be some other person. That can represent this.
Paul Rudd, he represents the more mature.
Yeah, but that's but he represents also like
everyday
the
guy.
He's like the father.
Yes,
kid.
But that, do you see? It's like the levels of the same type of guy. If you think about it,
I
it's
don't
just,
know if that represents
just,
the same type of guy.
Yes,
at all. Paul
in
Rudd.
A way,
are you kidding me?
In a way, it does.
Paul Rudd is
not
actually,
exactly.
Paul Rudd is like girls' dreams come true, man. Like
well,
looks,
maybe
looks
Michael
wise
Cera.
And,
Michael Cera.
I'm in love with Josh. That's what Paul Rudd represents, man.
Well, I mean, they all are not the same guy, obviously. But as far as like being like relatable to the average man in Hollywood right now, they all like show the average type guy. They try to make package.
Well, of course, but yeah, but that's an unbalanced fight. Everyone's gonna want to hang out with Paul Rudd.
Heck yeah.
Maybe you should throw in Jay Baruchel as opposed to Paul Rudd.
Jay Baruchel, yes. Yeah, I put him in that same group.
Undeclared.
It's basically like... the Judd Apatow circle.
Because if you think about what Jay Baruchel does and what Michael Cera does, they both do the same exact thing. They do the same exact movies too, like
Jay
the
Baruchel
same character.
Jay Baruchel doesn't have good name value for himself yet, because I still call him undeclared. I don't know if it's just a thing.
Yeah, I didn't really know his name was Jay Baruchel until a few. Like, I mean, it's not that he doesn't have that strong. He has a good name. Like, his name is good, but it's not as smooth as Michael Cera. Michael Cera, Jay Baruchel, Seth Rogen, together for the first time in one
movie. But no one
knows
who Jay Baruchel is. You know, if you were to just walk around and be like, "Hey, you know Jay Baruchel?" And people wouldn't know who he was.
He's still at that supporting role. Yeah.
Even though he did have a lot of roles, he had that Sorcerer's Apprentice. What was that?
Yeah,
that
you can see him in that movie.
I don't know. He was in that.
Oh yeah, you can see him in that movie. I forgot. I got confused with the cartoon.
He was in something else at the same very time.
But you see, you'd never see Michael Cera.
He was in Tropic Thunder.
You'd never see Michael Cera in like one of those movies. Michael Cera only does like movies with like 14 to 21 year olds starring in something like that.
Well,
there's the real fight right there. Michael Cera against Jay Baruchel.
Well, Jay Baruchel's a little bit more mature.
How is he more mature? They probably went to the same high school.
See, you know how the same like years that we're talking about?
Yeah.
You know how there was like that 5-year gap between him and Seth Rogen? Well, there's like a 3-year gap between him and Jay Baruchel.
Is there?
Yeah.
Who's
like, no, I don't know in actual life, but I'm just saying like as based on maturity of the movies.
But they do similar traits.
Roles.
Like,
yeah.
As in, like, even though... I would almost say that Jay Baruchel is a little bit... He's nerdier than,
He's nerdier, but he's more mature.
How is he more mature than, Michael
Cera? He just has,
Cera?
Like, a more mature sensibility.
Are you sure about that? Because he's like, well, I don't know, you know... he does
he's
that...
He's definitely more nerdier.
Sure.
I just get an older sensibility out of him just by like a couple years.
Yeah, that's true. He was in Almost Famous too, so he's actually been playing. He was in the game
true.
A little bit.
The first time I ever saw Jay Baruchel might have been Almost Famous.
Is Jay Baruchel Jewish?
Most likely.
I thought he was the one guy that's not Jewish in the Judd Apatow circle.
I would have to research that, but that'll come for a later time.
Well, let's look at the last names.
It's not even about the last names. It's about the look.
He doesn't look Jewish to me.
He looks a little.
Because that's what I was having a conversation with
Rogan
with the Tony Giamichael, one of my actors, he was like, yeah, totally. I was telling him about like the circle, how we would love to get into like the circle of Judd Apatow, and he was like, yeah, man, I can't get in the circle. He was like, yeah, I can't get into the circle because I'm not Jewish, and I was like. And he was, I said that, and he was like, well, there's one guy that's not Jewish, isn't it? There's like Jay Baruchel.
What about his wife?
It's Martin Starr is not Jewish.
Oh, it's Martin Starr? I'm pretty sure that Jay is Jewish.
Martin Starr. Oh, that's
they both have the
Martin
same
Star.
Initial,
Martin Starr.
J for Jew.
Martin Starr does the same thing, too. They all do that nerdy...
Martin Starr is definitely the nerdiest out of all of them.
Except Martin Starr, his sort of nerdy aesthetic. I don't know. I don't like using the word nerdy, but that's the best way. He does capulate. Martin Starr really does. If you guys don't know who Martin Starr is, Party Down. He was the
Freaks and Geeks.
He was also in a couple episodes of Undeclared. What else has he been in? That might be it. No, he has to have been in other stuff.
Yeah, he's probably in other stuff, but if we don't know about it, no one else will.
Yeah, no one else is going to know it since we, like, follow his career. It's like, yeah, he was in 2 shows.
Yeah.
He was probably in a movie somewhere. Yeah, he was in a movie somewhere. But he is more angry, I feel.
Oh, yeah, he's more angrier and dorkier.
But he really, really represented that dorkierness, man. He made it cool.
He's kind of like a cool dork.
No, but, like, it was, like, remember, like, in Undeclared? Not Undeclared, remember in... Remember anything that he's ever been in? It's like he's sort of like, you know, I'm sorry I said this, Martin, but he's sort of like, he's not like traditional attractive or good looking. Like, I could see girls like seeing Michael Cera and being like, oh yeah, you know, if you put him in the nice light, he looks very good. You know, he looks sort of hot, you know, like that. But you look at, Martin Starr.
Which time period is Freaks and Geeks period?
Any time period, really.
Well, in Party Down, there was possibility that he could look attractive.
He is the same thing, but he had long hair. He's always been the same thing, but he had
better
long
glasses.
No, he didn't. See, that's the one thing, is he still rocks those glasses. Like,
He
still plays those heavy, like, dorky glasses. You know what I'm saying?
I thought he looked better in Party Down than Freaks and Geeks. There's also a 10-year gap.
Yeah, so. It's a 10-year gap there. So hopefully he's getting, he got more, I mean, he's getting roles. So he, I haven't seen, sometimes I look at these artists.
Well, he also has his mouth a little bit open a lot.
All the time.
And he's just like,
You would call him like a mouth breeder. That's the style. He's always like,
Maybe if he closes his mouth a little bit.
His voice is hard to describe, like how to break down his voice of, forget about it. Nah, I can't do it. It's tough. I would get some clips sometime.
You do it like a mafia.
We should just have Martin Starr audio clips in the beginning of every show.
That would be our trademark.
So I guess Michael Cera would be our trademark.
It's true. They're like, you know that radio show that starts out with Martin Starr clips? That's how you know it's us.
It's all these guys came from television shows. So that's always good.
Do you think Seth Rogen is a handsome-looking fellow?
I don't think so.
Even like a thin.
They all started to have like that sort of. He started looking like J.J. Abrams later on. Like, they all have, like, the
Seth Rogen did get a nice pair of glasses recently when I saw him last. You can tell. You can tell that they were working on him to try to get a nice pair of glasses.
They made fun of that in Party... Not Party Down. They made fun of everything in Party Down. I love Party Down.
You know what? As far as, like, are we doing, like, this handsome list or whatever?
No, we're not doing any handsome list. We're just doing verses.
Well, but Jonah Hill, I have to say, not attractive.
Can you imagine?
I mean, maybe his his personality might grow on me if I like met him in real life. You know, he might be able to have some chance.
Would you be able to hang out with Jonah Hill? How do you think hanging out with Jonah Hill is?
I think he'd be really funny.
I don't know. I don't know if he would be. I think he's a funny performer, but he's not like.
I think he would have some good zingers, like when you're not expecting them.
Good zingers.
Yeah. So like you're hanging out with him at like Subway or something.
You just have like good back and forth.
Yeah.
It's like, look at that guy. Yeah, he reminds you of that. Oh, yeah.
Because you
this
can't
thing.
Be on all the time. It's one thing to be on stage and do your thing, but then we're talking about hanging out with them. You know, like hanging out with Jonah Hill. You know, you're like walking around the mall with your friend or something, and. Occasionally, he'll probably make some good zingers, some good comments, but he's not supposed to be on tap all the whole time because he's not on stage.
I think that Jonah Hill probably acts like how he does in Superbad.
Yeah,
like that's probably the definitive Jonah Hill. Oh, Michael Cera's in that movie.
Oh yeah, he was. I hope Jonah Hill doesn't act like Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh, what are we talking about? McLovin's also. There's all these nerdy, dorky people all
McLovin
over the place.
McLovin is pretty dorky.
There's a lot of them.
What
about dorky?
What about
they?
The yeah. What about the guy from Forgetting Sarah Marshall? Nick from Freaks and Geeks.
I don't know. A lot of girls like
what's
him.
What's his name? Now I can't
even
remember his name.
Jason Segel.
Yeah, Jason Segel.
I don't know. He was a basketball player, so he must have got cheerleaders.
Do you think he's pretty cool?
He's
on the coolest part of this list.
He's always like, hey man, yeah, you know, I tried to ask her out, but, you know, don't worry about it. I'm not going to, you know, it's all right. You know, I can't really, don't really worry about it sometimes. You know, you see, that's that guy.
So
he's always smiling to himself type deal.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, all right, I'll try it. You know, him and Paul Rudd was in I Love You Man.
Yeah. So do you think that the coolest of the circle, of the Judd Apatow circle, might be James Franco?
See, you can't even put him in any dorky category at all.
Well, he did play Dungeons and Dragons and Freaks and Geeks.
My name is Carlos.
Carlos the elf? Or something. Carlos the gnome?
He transcends at this point. He played motherfucking James Dean. You know what I'm saying?
He was Harry Osborn.
He was Harry Osborn.
Harry.
My father, Pete! You killed my father!
Well, he is probably... Who do you think is the coolest, him or Paul Rudd?
James Franco.
James Franco's like the king of the mountain.
Yeah.
On the Apatow circle.
That is like
he's
cool.
He's the center.
When I think cool, I think of a guy with shades that doesn't need to talk to anybody and has like just this like convertible or whatever car. Paul Rudd is like the, hey man, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Cool. Yeah. But James Franco is like, yo, what's up, man? All right, yeah, I'll see you later.
Like James Franco,
or he doesn't even have to talk.
James Franco doesn't even talk to you. He's just like a magic bus. But Paul Rudd is like, hey, dude, want to hang out? All right, sure. Let's go play some ball. Want to go work out? Let's go work out. James Franco would be like, have they ever been in a movie together? James Franco and Paul Rudd.
Most likely, maybe, but I don't know.
Most likely, maybe. What makes you assume that? Like, there has to have been by this time.
It should
Their paths have to have crossed.
All of them connect in the circle. Do you remember
Circle.
Do you remember I made a chart that had the circle in it and how we can...
Had a circle in it?
Well, it's like a chart that I physically made with pen and paper.
Was it a pie chart? Should be a pie chart.
No, it was one of those charts that you connect.
It was a web graph.
And
we tried to connect ourselves to.
Yes, we tried to find a way to connect ourselves to the epitel circle.
Do we find out? Do we find out if we connect through?
Our connection is through Sanjay Dutt.
Is that our main connection because of Kevin Nash?
And because he knows Christopher Daniels, and Christopher Daniels worked on Spider-Man as a stunt double.
And that leads and up that to, leads Frank, to James Franco?
And that leads to, yes, to James
that
Franco.
That leads to James Franco.
Yes.
Which also leads to Saturday Night Live. Because, what's his name, Nader? What's the guy? I forgot his name. I don't know all the names of the SNL people.
What are you?
He does the Vincent Price guy. He was also in Adventureland. I forget his name. But he was a PA on Spider-Man.
Oh.
So that was like in the newest Esquire magazine with James Franco on it. It has like an interview with... Was it Phil... I forgot his name. But he's one of those guys. Yeah, we're connected everywhere. But not really. But we are. Well, we're part of the circle. We're like 7 degrees. 7,000 degrees of somebody. But then, you know, there's also Kevin Smith. We met Kevin Smith. And also Jimmy Palmiotti's good friends with Kevin Smith. So there's a connection there.
And we met Mike Allred.
Yeah. And that goes to Robert Rodriguez.
And that also, Michael Allred goes directly to Kevin Smith.
That's true. Directly to Kevin Smith. And Frank Miller. We're just going
to make it bigger.
List all of our connections, make it seem like we're bigger. We know them all. Coming soon, we'll be part of your circle. The circle is opening up. As every single day passes by. Yeah, like...
I actually have a chart of it.
It's awesome. It's like just like in A Beautiful Mind. We're just connecting all the dots. Like, see? If you go to this person, you go to this person. Damn! We're friends with Barack Obama! Barack!
Barack. The Barbarian Obama. Man, you know what?
The Barbarian Obama?
Don't they have like a comic called that? Barack the Barbarian?
Maybe.
Yeah, there's an actual comic. That's why I'm bringing it up. And you know what I have to say?
I don't really read those ones with the...
I'd say in the past year or so, since Barack became president, that so many comic books love to take advantage of that.
Tell me how they do that.
Like,
especially right after
he got in office, there's like a zillion comics with Barack on it. Even Spider-Man had him.
Did you ever read one of those?
No, but I have like that Barack... presidential one that has like John McCain on the other side.
I wonder what these comics are about. What does Barack do? Does he have superpowers?
Yeah, one of them has like Barack the Barbarian and Barack this, Barack that, and then there was
Barack
this other.
Barack this, Barack that.
Yeah, there's seriously probably 10 titles, which in my mind is actually a lot of books just based on Barack, but I have to say I kind of like how I haven't seen them recently. So.
I mean, that's good. I mean, there's no reason.
Like it was like a little bit much. I was like, dang. And then I remember, do you remember at the comic book store when that Barack comic book came out? People that never even read comics were coming in looking for it.
But see, that's the genius of it, right?
They were just fans of Barack, which is fine.
Fans of Barack.
Yeah, but it's fine and all. But then it is a genius because the comic books did make a lot of money off of that.
Hell yeah, they got money.
But then at the same time, it's also like, well, you know, gimmick.
Gimmick?
Yeah, Barack.
A stunt, comic book
Barack
stunt.
Barack was a comic book gimmick.
What if they killed Barack just like how they killed Batman and Superman, they killed Barack in the comic?
That would never happen.
They would get, like, the FBI would be after them. You killed the president. You must die. You think that's what happened? The FBI just kills people without us knowing.
Oh my gosh.
They black bag people.
They might already do that.
They probably do. Or they tell the CIA to do it. Central Intelligence Agency.
Someone's been out there.
But that we're part of that circle. We're part of the circles. So they don't kill us.
So yeah,
The newest thing I've seen, the dorkiest of the circle?
Yeah. Is it Martin Starr?
It's Martin Starr.
Oh, man.
The battle would usually become Martin Starr versus McLovin.
But McLovin is, yeah.
Yeah, but see, now he's cool. He's like that level of cool.
Oh, yeah, because he was
in Kick-Ass. No, but like in general, his name is McLovin, so he's cool. You know, now he has that coolness.
Yeah.
There hasn't really been a true factor, a true point.
I think Martin Starr got to like promote himself that he is the dorkiest.
There's never.
He can like make a level off that.
Everyone else has had that moment where they've been cool. You know what I mean? Like McLovin, you know, he's like riding a cop car and he's like, "Break yourself, fool!" You know? And, you know, and Michael Cera, he gets like the girl in Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist and like,
I never
saw
that
and like
either.
Gives her, you know,
was
like
he acting
puts
the
his
same
hand
there
in her
too?
Pussy in the movie.
He does?
At the end of the movie, I guess.
Oh my
that's what
gosh.
They that's what they assume. Oh, did I give a spoiler?
Yeah.
Oh.
Was he like, "Oh, you know, can I put your hand down the pussy?"
Would be okay, can I just finger your pussy? It wouldn't, you know, it won't hurt. I practice at home. All right, you're cool. And then when he's doing, he's like, what do I do? Oh no. And she's like, yeah. No, oh, what? Am I doing something wrong? I see how that works, Mike. I see what you're doing, Michael Cera.
So far the list has like James Franco is the coolest and Martin Starr is the dorkiest.
But see, let's see who hasn't had the cool factor part of it. Yeah, also remember in what's that movie? Knocked Up. Everyone was making fun of Martin Starr there. He never got that chance to be cool, like the cool.
You know,
he's just always angry.
You know what I wish they have in the Apatow circle? More like, you know, we have all these funny guys, like super funny
looking
guys.
Looking for women?
Yeah, more women, because like I really like Leslie Mann, like a whole lot. Like
but
seriously,
he has a woman in each one of them.
I know he does, but
he has
like,
at least one.
No, I know. I'm not saying he. I'm not
he
saying
has at
he
least
doesn't.
One.
I'm not saying he doesn't. But what I'm saying is that, like, you know, how we have this whole stable of like male comedians, like that are just really known.
Yeah, it's the same complex.
But then in what you have, he does have females that are funny and strong and all that. I'm not saying he doesn't have that at all, but. They just aren't as prominent when you like look at the whole like stable of Judd Apatow.
Maybe that should be the next thing that Judd Apatow does in his.
Hey Judd, I can help you out with that.
That's right.
But I really like Leslie Mann a whole lot. Like
maybe that's the thing. There should be no competition with Leslie Mann. That's the plan.
Well, I feel like Leslie Mann needs to like somehow like. Be bigger than she is right now. Like she has that ability to like be at Seth Rogen level, but I feel like she isn't like mainstream enough, you know.
Let's think about this though. There has to be sort of a break in time. Let's sort of give a prophecy. What do you think is happening now with this media that would open up the doors for Leslie Mann? Because in a sense, those types of comedies. You know, they're
See,
good,
Leslie
but they
Mann,
only have to be great.
See, but she
medium
should do
ones
something
aren't
like,
it.
You know, the things that
like
do...
Like Big Daddy?
No, you know how the things that do
Big
make
Daddy.
Make money is like Sex and the City and stuff like that?
Yeah.
And that's like kind of her age range, you know? Like she's not really that
I
old,
I
want to
watch Spider-Man!
But, you know, like, maybe she should do, like, a comedy version of that type of deal.
Of Sex
like,
in the City? That is a comedy.
Well,
look how
no,
crappy
no,
it is. It was funny.
No, but, like,
I never
but
saw
like, a, like, a Judd Apatow-style comedy, but, like,
for girls?
For women.
For women?
Yeah, and she can even, like, get in, like, some of the younger women and some of the older women, like, based on her age, you know? Because she can kind of branch through that. Like, maybe something like a midlife crisis or something of a woman.
Because he, in Undeclared, he did have it split down the center. That was what was pretty interesting about that. You know, he had, like, the girl dorm and he had the guy dorm.
Dorm?
Yeah. In Undeclared?
Oh, Undeclared, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you said Knocked Up. Sorry.
No.
Nah, nigga.
Nah, nigga.
Why are you calling me that?
I'm sorry.
Well, anyway.
But yeah, they had split down the middle. They had that curly-haired girl. They had Monica Keena.
Yeah, but
that
girl. Who was it? Girls were great and all,
Kim,
but...
Kim Kelly.
Those girls were great and all, but I'm just basically saying that, like, they just...
There's
I don't
no
know if,
starring
I don't know if,
role.
I don't know if there's a media that isn't covering this or what, but they just...
a media?
They just don't have like that level of the Seth Rogen.
Do you think females want to see that? Because if you think about it, like they
some
gotta get
do.
The average.
They haven't they have tapped get, in on it as much as they can.
They gotta get the average girl because you know, like all these guys, the average guy is. You know, they said like, oh, Seth Rogen, Michael Cera, it's like this not perfectly good looking, charming. Who would that be?
I don't know yet, but they I think they haven't tapped into that market,
I feel like
and I think it can be done.
I think Leslie Mann is like the...
She's really pretty, though.
She's too. really, you know, she has good facial bone structure, and she can play it really well. But I think at this point, she's like in the... She's in like the... She's in the Paul Rudd, like, level.
Yeah.
But like, has to start. She has to break out
with
someone
else. She's kind of like the female Paul Rudd.
But who would be like the female version of like the Rogan... It'll probably be that girl. It might be that girl.
The
that
girl
was,
with the glasses?
Yeah.
That was sleeping
that
with
mousy
Jason
girl.
Schwartzman?
I forgot her name now.
I don't even know her name. See, that's the thing. I should know her name.
Why don't you know her name? Gosh.
No, but like, that's, no, but that's,
you should know her
it's
name.
It's not even about me knowing it. It's about like the star level. Like the media should get...
Audrey Brie? She's cool. But she's not... But she's like good looking. Extremely good looking. So it doesn't really...
You
know,
she has that open mouth factor though. A little bit.
Who? That mousy girl?
Yeah, Audrey.
Audrey?
Yeah.
What's the open mouth factor?
The one that Martin Starr has when they just open up their mouth just the tiniest bit.
Audrey Brie?
Yeah, I feel like she kind of has that.
Trudy?
Yeah, I feel like she kind of has that. Trudy?
Yeah.
It's a different person.
Who are you talking about?
I was talking about the girl that was like the female stand-up comedian from
No, that's
Funny
not
People.
Audrey Brie is the girl from Community and Mad Men.
Oh, okay.
Blue suits.
I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about the girl.
She's a good comedian.
I'm talking about the girl who slept with Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah, she has. She's like a Sarah. She has a Sarah-ness about her.
But she has She has the open mouth disease.
She always does All right, cool.
She's like the female Michael Cera.
You know, yeah, she might be the female Michael Cera.
See, but we need like a female Seth Rogen.
She's on what's that show? Parks and Rec. She's on Parks and Rec now. Or she has been on Parks and Rec.
See, but do you agree with me that there's like they have the opportunity to make I mean, first of all, I'm not really into Sex and the City and all that, but they basically have an opportunity to tap in a little bit on that market and like girls in their 20s that are into comedy.
Yeah.
Like some type of
Well, list the girls on
and then
comedy.
In the Judd Apatow Circle, they have Katherine Heigl. I feel like she's dropped out of the circle.
Fuck Katherine Heigl.
She dropped out
even,
of the circle.
She's not funny.
She's technically in the circle, but she has dropped out of the circle. She's right outside the circle.
She's kicked out of the circle.
That's what I mean. Like, she's right outside.
From the circle.
Like, you can connect her if you want, but then you also, when you do connect her in the chart, you put her outside the circle.
I don't like Katherine Heigl at all.
You have to at least mention her, though, because she was in Knocked Up.
Notice how she, like, you know, notice how she's dropped off and on for good reason, because she started bad-mouthing all of her old work that people loved. I was like, damn, you're bad-mouthing Knocked Up? That's the movie that basically broke you, bitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, what did she say about it?
She's like, I can't quote her perfectly, but it's more to the extent of like, yeah, I didn't like that movie, blah, blah, blah. You know, just saying
she
didn't respect it. You know, she says like, oh, it was juvenile, she didn't respect it at all or something like that.
Then why did she even sign up for it? What did she think it was?
It's just dumb that to basically really break down, just to disregard the movie that break you,
I think. Yeah, true. Well, she's already. Whenever I think of Knocked Up, I never think of her. So
I don't think of her ever.
Yeah, I don't think of her.
I look
ever.
At her face and I think of women that are mean and annoying, and that's disregard that.
Well, like I said, she's out
those,
of she's out of the circle on the chart. Like when I make the chart, she's like right outside the circle. You know how on the Entertainment Weekly when they have the bullseye at the very end?
Yeah.
You know how people that are outside on the bullseye?
Yeah.
That's where she is, like on the Judd Apatow circle.
She's outside the bullseye.
Yeah, like she still is like she's like an honorable mention outside, but it's like, it's kind of like, oh, well, you're not back in. You're not invited back in.
It's sort of, it's,
but she is like on that level of the girls in the circle, she's not in the circle, but she is like a main role that was in Judd Apatow for a woman.
She to me right now is like a failure, not a failure. It's just a bomb, you know. Nothing. She hasn't produced anything else that I liked. She probably acts exactly like the character in Knocked Up, and it's sort of like this unlikable, you know, just drunk party bitch.
You know,
professional drunk party bitch.
You know Jay Burchell?
Yeah.
He did that movie that like had like She's a 10 or whatever. What's that movie?
Yeah, something like that.
Or like The Girl Was a 10 and he was nothing or something. Like, I want to see
you're
that.
You're a zero and she's a 10.
Yeah, and like he was dating her or something. I don't know the full movie, but basically it did like okay, I guess, in the box office. It didn't really break
hopefully
new ground.
Hopefully it made its money back.
But. Didn't really break new ground, but I kind of like, I wouldn't pay to see that movie, but I would want to see the movie. Because I just want to be able to see it. Because I thought it looked decent.
Yeah.
But I mean, it sounds kind of predictable though.
Well, what do you think happens?
I think that he gets the girl.
Wait, what's the plot again?
It's like basically I forget how they meet. Maybe it's an airport or something. I don't know. I saw the trailer a while ago. And anyway, so then there's like this really pretty girl, like blonde girl. And then she somehow like gets with him.
Oh yeah.
And then
yeah.
Everyone's like making fun of it. Cause
so
then,
how'd you get that girl?
And then everyone's like, she's like a 10, but you're like nothing. And then like everyone's just making fun of it, but then somehow he's hanging out with her, and I don't know. But there was like, I don't know what the end would be, but if I had to guess, maybe like technically he would be with her, but I have a feeling there might be a breakup involved somewhere in the plot.
And then they bring the relationship back.
Either they bring the relationship back and like prove everyone wrong, or she ends up like going to college or something, and then she's like, see you later. And then it's more like they just had a
good... Goes to college and see you later.
Yeah, it's more like they just had a good time for that summer or something, and like he at least knew that he was able to get like a hot-looking girl or something.
So it was like an in-retrospective type of movie where it's like, well, you know, you should have had more college. You can get this girl, you can get any other type of girl. So maybe he likes... Like, maybe he likes some other girl that's not like hot like her, and he's like, you know, he... It's almost in a sense for him trying to find his true love.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know how it would
end. And she teaches him a lesson about that?
Yeah, she definitely teaches him a lesson. Again, I haven't seen the movie, but I'm predicting what it's about.
Yeah, watch it be like absolutely crap. We have, our story is a lot better. Like he just coincidentally gets involved with this girl, which he doesn't really, he's not like mentally awesomely attracted to, but he, you know, he's like, oh, I gotta get this, you know, when am I ever gonna get this hot girl? And then he actually likes this other girl that's, you know, not as hot, but they, like, have perfect chemistry.
Yeah.
And then maybe he's trying to make this girl jealous and stuff like that. So that's why this girl is always around. And then sooner or later, she's like, you know, they find the truth. And she finds the truth. Like, she doesn't know that he likes this other girl. And then maybe, like, he tries to, like, use that to get this girl. And then in a sense, he makes the not-so-hot girl jealous. And they're both jealous. And he ends up with no girl. And then he has to make a choice of which one he wants to pursue. But now he has these life lessons, you see.
Yeah.
It's like before he didn't know how to make out with a chick, but now he does. So he can learn from that hot girl and put it into this medium girl.
That movie is still made for like the guy, you know, it's still like, oh, you can get a hot girl, it's achievable type deal.
But
it's
see,
like if Jay Burchell can do it, you can do it.
Yeah, but look at the movies that are made for the girl, like 27 Dresses.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Those stupid Katherine Heigl movies.
Yeah, any movie
I never
after
even saw it,
knocked
so.
Up with Katherine Heigl is stupid. Any
she
Catherine,
did that Ashton Kutcher one where they're like
stupid.
CIA or something.
Yeah, she's all like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
Her hair,
oh god,
her hair
oh
did
god.
Look good
what
in that
this?
Movie.
It's a god, oh my god, don't touch me. That's how she acts. Oh my god, what? No. Catherine Heigl. I'm Catherine Heigl, I'm scared.
I never saw that movie, but from the trailers, I thought her hair looked nice.
It better fucking look nice. Millions of dollars being spent.
They're like, this hairspray cost $10,000.
More
than your life.
They're using the same... Is Michael Jackson saying this one?
Yeah. He'll, like, his hand comes down from heaven, and he's like...
That'd be so scary, this ghostly white hand.
Yeah, this ghostly white hand.
He's like, damn,
with a glove on.
They're like, damn, they turned the ghosts up there. He's like, no, that's my skin tone.
He was like, here's my $10,000 hairspray. I want it back. But you can you can use it on Katherine Heigl. Well, anyway, but like, yeah, this is the thing with these female movies that are out right now, like Sex and the City and 27 Dresses. You know, granted, I have never seen these movies, but there's a reason why I haven't seen these movies, because I saw the trailer. And the thing is I don't want to see the movies after seeing the trailer. But those are all the movies that are supposedly aimed at, I guess, my demographic. And I would rather see Knocked Up or... Kick-Ass or Superbad than 27 Dresses.
Speaking of...
So they need to make a female version of 40-Year-Old Virgin or something, you know? Don't you
Who would star in it? Who would
you? 40-year-old virgin? Who do you
want to star in this female star ensemble? No one from Sex and the City.
I don't know yet. That's the thing. We need to make these.
Let's
stars.
Put this together. Who should star? Leslie Mann should be in it, right?
Yeah, Leslie Mann for sure.
Do you want that Mousy girl to be in it?
Sure. I mean, I just don't know what it would be yet.
Do you want that Asian chick that was Martin Starr's girlfriend?
No.
Remember, she's like, yeah.
Is she really Martin Starr's girlfriend?
No, and Knocked Up. She's Michael Cera's girlfriend.
In real life, okay.
That's what I hear, at least from the movie.
I mean, she was fine, but she had a bit part. She didn't really make me laugh.
So when you're pregnant, your stomach's gonna be big.
We still have that paper heart thing.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere.
We have to watch it. It's Michael Cera and his girlfriend. What's it called?
So tell me about love. So when you're pregnant, your belly's gonna get real fat. That's how she talks, isn't it? I forget her name.
I don't know her
name. Mika Tan or something. I don't know.
Ching Ching.
Ching Ching.
I don't know.
Well, she's not Chinese.
I don't know what she
because
is.
Because Ching Ching means Chinese. I don't know.
Panda. We'll call her Panda.
Rice Patties. So who else would be in this?
Well, she didn't really prove anything to me in that.
So she's not gonna be in it
as like a bit part, but she ain't getting no starring role in it.
Who should get the starring role?
I don't know yet. It might be an unknown.
It can't be an unknown man.
Can't.
It has to be someone that's already been established on television or some sort.
You know, supposedly from what I hear, it's just hearsay, but I heard that Anna Faris is supposedly a good comedian.
Anna Faris is really good.
And I haven't seen it, but I own The House Bunny. I guess it would be another movie we own that we haven't seen.
If you think about it, what you're asking for might just be House Bunnies.
See, but I have to see that movie.
Well, it's sort of exactly how you sort of picture it. It's like, oh, bunch of nerdy girls trying to be cool.
That one has like the college
trying to get the guy
fraternity thing because they're like a sorority or something.
Well, it was Undeclared.
Yeah, but it was a little bit different. It was more like from an outsider perspective.
Anna Faris is a good
Anna Faris does have the pretty look to her too.
But also she's one of those. She's actually one of the female actresses that's not afraid to do it, to do stupid.
Has she ever hosted SNL?
I don't know.
Do you know what? Oh my gosh.
Oh my God!
Popped into my head. It's so sad though.
Oh my God!
Do you know who I would have loved to have in
Judd
Apatow female movie?
Oh my God, Chris. Who?
It will never happen, but Brittany Murphy. I really think she could have pulled it off.
Yeah. I think Brittany Murphy is amazing in comedy. She could rock that out.
See, but if Brittany Murphy, if she wasn't like Ashton Kutcher.
Uptown Girls, she was good,
See, I never saw Uptown Girls, but, or like that Ashton Kutcher, whatever movie, the honeymoon thing. What happens? They get married in Vegas or something?
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, we have to be together forever. Make it work.
And they have this horrible honeymoon, and they're like, oh my God, cockroaches. Everything bad happens on their honeymoon.
Well, I think that, I'm like really actually very disturbed right now because I think that Brittany Murphy could have really done really well.
Hell yeah. I would have loved to have Brittany Murphy in my movie.
That's so frustrating that she died. Like, super frustrating.
You telling me?
See, we need
rest in peace, Brittany Murphy.
There needs to be like a Brittany Murphy. I would cast her.
There needs to be a Brittany Murphy.
Yeah, dig her up.
We gotta go
dig
find
her.
Her. We gotta find the next Brittany Murphy.
Yeah, like
the next Clueless girl. Next.
See, she needs to be in it.
I forgot
it, man.
Her name in Clueless, but I forget names a whole lot.
That's okay. We know what you're talking about.
That's good. Just so you guys know out there, I forget names a lot. You probably would have had to been in my life for at least. Over 3 years, like every single day, for me to remember your name. This includes television.
Well, you should know the name of your crew then.
Yeah.
When you have your crew. Can you do that?
Like, even on a film set, it takes me a while to learn everyone's name. And I'm
well,
just like, hey,
need,
dude.
You need to get better at that.
What's
then?
Up, man? How's it going?
You need to get better at that.
I try to get better every day, but I sooner or later, I get it. You get it.
Mm-hmm. Man, but I don't know who else I could cast right now at this very moment, but let's just say I would cast Leslie Mann and Brittany Murphy.
Leslie Mann.
So, it's
Brittany
like in
Murphy.
The theoretical, I know Brittany Murphy can't be in it, but in the theoretical terms of me casting this movie, that's what I'm looking for.
None of the comedian female girl actress girls right now like doing comedy.
I mean, Tina Fey's already like bigger, She's too big for this movie that I want, I feel like
Tina Fey is like the legendary status. Well, you want the new upstarts.
Yeah, I need, like, I need a relatively fresh face that can burst out. Kind of like, you know, how Seth Rogen was before 40-Year-Old Virgin. You know, people kind of knew who he was, but then it brought him to that next level.
That's right.
That's right.
Tina Fey's already, like, beyond that level.
Tina Fey actually, like, exists in her own world of comedy as well. Because she's also a writer of comedy, you know?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that, you know, that Judd Apatow is not writer comedy, but you're looking for that new freshness.
And the other girl from Parks and Rec, from SNL, the blonde girl. I'm forgetting her name right now. I'm blanking out, but she's already
something with a P.
Maybe, but she's already broken. I've thought of her in this conversation that we've had, but I didn't mention her, so I knew her name like 30 minutes ago, but I can't remember it right now.
I think you should throw Jenna Fisher in it.
Yeah, she might be in it.
She's good. I like her. She has yet to do the starring role aspect. She's only been like in supporting.
So do we need this whole like female ensemble, or do we just need like one big lead?
Because that's what you're saying. You know,
like Sex in the City.
You're saying how like you know you're basically casting you're knocked up, but it's women, all women, you know.
See, but then like what Hollywood is doing for like. Speaking of Knocked Up, to be centered around babies or something. What Hollywood is doing, they're making these Jennifer Aniston movies about how, like, she wants the artificial insemination.
That sucks.
Ends up being her best friend's baby.
Is it? Is that what happens?
Yeah, that's what I heard on the radio somewhere. You know that other guy that was in the movie with the Charlize Theron and Will Smith?
Will Smith?
Yeah. That superhero movie.
Eric Bana? No.
No, the superhero movie.
Jason Bateman? Yeah.
Yeah, like, remember how Jason Bateman and Jennifer Aniston are friends or something, and then Jennifer Aniston's getting an artificial insemination? I heard that it's actually his sperm in the movie.
I will never watch a Jennifer Aniston movie.
No, but see, they're trying to make it kind of funny? Do you see what I mean? But they're not taking it all the way to the Judd level.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, it could go there, though. It could be, like, at that Juno slash, even though Juno's not Judd. But, you know, like, that if you do off that whole pregnancy movie thing.
I think that's how they treat their audience.
It's like mediocre Jennifer Aniston style.
Like, to me, I feel like the way you produce your movie for a certain people, that's how smart you think they are. That's how you think they are.
But you see how that movie, I'm not saying I like this movie of the artificial insemination and stuff, but.
Because doesn't Jennifer Lopez have a movie that's coming out like that too?
Or it might have already happened.
I don't know.
But basically, her movie, I think it already happened and it didn't really go anywhere. But I think her movie was a little bit different. Basically, she, on the poster, there's like a chart of life and it says something like date, get married, have kids. You know, basically how the normal way you're supposed to live your life, you know? Yeah. But then on the poster, it has that, but then, like, all the arrows are kind of switched around. Like, it was, like, get married first. No, or have a baby first, then get married, or then date, or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, all switched around. Like, basically, from, I guess, what I'm getting from that poster is that in that movie, she basically gets pregnant first.
So that's how they pitch the movie. They're like, imagine you have a list, and imagine it going backwards. It's like, so, you know, you go date. Blah, 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 blah.
But isn't that the same thing as Knocked Up? Because that's what happened to them. They didn't really know each other. They're hanging out at a club, have sex for one time, and get pregnant. And then they date afterwards.
That's the genius of Knocked Up is that it's built. It's a vehicle. You know what I mean? It's a vehicle of introduction of Seth Rogen. Like, without Seth Rogen, that movie would not be successful, I think.
But, you know, on top of that, they didn't have to have a chart on their poster that said, this is what happens.
Yeah.
Like, so it was, like, so conceptual at that point that for their poster, they just had a picture of Seth Rogen and said, would you like this man to father your child or something like that?
And that's freaking genius, dude. If you think about it, that's the genius.
Or this man impregnated.
Yeah, a lot of people are copying that business model. Because it's so genius. You know, it's so simple that it's so simple because you get it.
See,
right
but
there.
But the Jennifer Aniston slash Jennifer Lopez, Jennifer.
Jen.
Those movies just like really treat it at like such a basic level.
Because so that's
like
how
the normal person thinks that slowly.
Because I think that it's
unconceptual.
It's not even that. They think that females think that slowly because no guy is going to be like, I can't wait to see that movie.
Yeah, it's,
you know what I'm saying?
Like the marketing about it is all bad, and then it just needs to be like more like a Judd level, you know? Like they could take it to like that, because it, basically it's just basic essential life things. Like all of Judd Apatow's movies are like that. Getting a girl. Okay, that's the whole movie is based around getting a girl, yeah. or like getting accidentally pregnant. Like that's pretty much
becoming accidentally pregnant.
Becoming accidentally pregnant, or
I'm gonna die.
Yeah, like I'm a comedian and I'm gonna die, and I want to reconnect.
It's like this. It's like what if? It's like that. It's like what but if you're still a virgin, or if it's yeah. what if you accidentally get pregnant, or what if you're about to die.
Yeah, and they're all like big life lessons type things, but it's all put in like one sentence.
And I enjoy.
Or even you could do something like finding a job. You know, like yeah. I know that might not sound as appealing, but you know, like that's a big deal to some people.
That's the pitch, and those are the themes so that you know when you think of stories, you break it down like that. I guess the Jennifer Aniston movie would be like, I want to be pregnant,
but I don't have a perfect man, I can do it myself. It's more artificial.
Yeah, is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is.
I thought like she can't get pregnant or something.
I don't know. Maybe she. Well, if she can't get pregnant. If you can't get pregnant, then you can't get pregnant. You can't just insert sperm and then get pregnant.
Oh, so she's like, I don't want to have sex, but I want to have a baby.
I just think maybe she wasn't able to find the right man, but in her timeline of life, she wanted to have a baby. Like, she's ready for a baby, but then she didn't have enough manpower for it. Kind of like her real life. You know? She wants to have a baby, but she can't find a man.
Well, she lost a man. That's what happened.
Well, do you see what I mean, though?
Yeah.
Do you know how many women can relate to that, though?
There you go.
So then that's how they bank. So in a way, it's successful, but it's not just funny. It's like a cheap way of getting it.
It's not going to be like a legendary funny movie.
Yeah, but it could be.
Could be. Remember, because she has that one movie with Gerard Butler, where it's like the kidnapping.
I don't even know.
She's doing all types. Jennifer Aniston's always doing all types of movies like that I don't watch. I don't watch any Jennifer Aniston movies. And I want to leave the world like that. I do not watch Jennifer Aniston movies. Maybe the Friends movie, but
what about that one where she was Flair? Office Space.
That doesn't count. Well, there you go, guys. That is the final word. Jennifer Aniston, I do not watch your movies. Only Office Space. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Everyone have a good day. We will catch you next week.
In the circle.
SPX is coming up. SPX is coming up.